Hello, welcome to the WDW Review. I'm your host, Chris Malik, and I'm joined by one of my wonderful friends. Oh, okay, hang on. One of our wonderful friends, and if you're a member of our community, she is your friend. It's Cindy Ellicott from, what's it outside today by you, Cindy? I'm just curious. What do you
actually, it would be about 18 degrees Fahrenheit here. The last 3 days, the wind blew in and it warmed it right up for us. So
balmy, balmy.
Yeah, it's just, it's coming right close to freezing.
Nice, nice. So I've got Cindy on today. We weren't sure how to do this show. I'll be honest with you. We talked about it for a while. So this is going to be a very real show and very unlike the Dubs, because we're going to dive into a topic that affects a lot of people, isn't really talked about, and there's a lot of stigma attached to this. And you know what? We've seen a lot of posts recently on social media that gets us angry for a lot of reasons. So this is going to be a very real show from Cindy and Chris. We're going to talk about, essentially, ride accessibility. Does that include the DAS card? Does that include your waist size? Does that include your weight? Does that include a lack of empathy? The answer is yeah. It's going to touch on all those. But we're going to go and dive deep because we've seen a few things recently that just makes us, I don't even want to say the word uncomfortable because that's not right. It makes us angry. Personally, for me, it makes me angry. Because even though I'm not that size right now, I used to be. All right. I was a big boy. My son, based on some of these rides, might not qualify. The best people in my life, my closest friends, would not qualify and would not be able to ride on some of these rides for a variety of reasons. And that makes me mad knowing that the parks and the resorts are designed to go and honestly separate you from your money and create wonderful memories. And we're going to charge you full price, but we're not going to offer you full price memories. And that makes me angry when there's other solutions. So anyways, that's going to be our show for today. But before we do that, we're going to always try and spin this with truth and trying to stay positive. But once in a while, you just need a fire. And that's going to be today. So before we do that, what's good in your life? I love seeing your smile today. You got the prettiest smile. What's good in your life, Cindy?
Well, I am very close to another Disney trip. So let's see what day we leave. February 11th. We will fly out and we will be in Disney until the 17th at Disney World. And we will get to meet up with some of our closest friends, Callahan's and Scott and Shannon. We're going to make that work as well. So we're really, really looking forward to that, getting away from some cold weather and having a trip with Brittany and just enjoying Disney.
That's wonderful. Before you go, just remind people, how long is your commute? And I use the word commute with air quotes. How long is your commute? And what is the ordeal from you and the moment you leave your front door to the moment you check into a resort? What does that look like?
So I will leave by noon on Friday, and I will get into Saskatoon by 3:30. And then we will be at the airport for 5:30. We will fly out of Saskatoon at 8 o'clock. We will go to Calgary. Which will take us until about 9 o'clock. And then we'll sit in Calgary until 12:30. And then we will fly to Toronto. So we'll get into Toronto and it'll be about Toronto or Orlando time. We'll get into Toronto about 6 in the morning. Then we do not get our flight to Orlando until 2:30 or 3 in the afternoon. So we get into Orlando about 6. So it's a 24-hour from the time we catch our plane basically in Saskatoon till we get off the plane in Orlando.
Talk about the logistics that need to happen in uniform and being succinct, boom, the boom, boom, boom.
Yeah.
But that's what makes Disney wonderful. It puts a person on a plane for 24 hours or more just to get there to see their friends. So God bless you.
We got very fortunate for our return flight. There's actually a direct flight from Orlando to Saskatoon. So we're just getting on in Orlando. Yeah. Friday at about 5 o'clock supper time when we're coming back, and we'll be here by midnight.
It's like stealing.
They do make them. It's just there's not many of them.
Okay. What airlines?
WestJet, we're flying.
Okay. I'm more excited than you are about that. You get to actually not have to worry about the layovers and $7 Coca-Colas.
Traveling a mile and a half or 2 miles in the airport.
Right. Okay. So let's dive into the show. I have a feeling it's going to be a little bit of a longer show today. So I want to give you the floor because you had an experience at Universal, and this is not pro-Disney, anti-Universal. We've got good and bad to say about both places. But you had an experience with Universal that really needs to be talked about because the way that you were treated in your experience, if you were to try and use an accessibility pass, you should be aware of this, at least your experience there. So I'm going to give you the floor. So tell us all about it.
So to start with, like you said, this isn't Disney against Universal, but I think my expectations were at a certain point because I've had the disability access services pass from Disney for 3 years now. Whenever we went, I've registered. Now you register every 60 days. So every trip I've had to go on and register to get it, prove I still needed it. But they're very respectful and they're very helpful. And they will suggest, you know, other things that can help you and where there's some accessible services and stuff like that in their parks and where the guides are. And they'll link you right to it. They let you pre-select 2 rides per day that you're going to be at the park to have them set up before you go, all that kind of stuff. Went to Universal and I was by myself. Brittany and I had been traveling together. She's a nurse. The COVID resurfaced while we were planning our vacation and in the time just shortly before we went there, and they mandated none of the nurses in the province could take more than 7 days off, and we had planned a 12-day trip. So she had to go back. I was going to spend the last 4 days by myself at Universal. At first, I was going to come back too, and then I thought, I've got a Universal annual pass. I might as well stay, go to Universal and enjoy that a bit on my own. I do a lot more of the roller coasters and rides like that, thrill rides. My daughter is not much on that. She doesn't really enjoy them as much, so Universal is more for me when we go. And so booked into Sapphire Falls, beautiful hotel, not an issue. Now I wear a walking boot. I had a torn Achilles tendon 3 years ago. It has, I don't know what they call it, where it's basically solidified. So there's no flex in my Achilles tendon at any given time. If there's a jerk, it had torn right off of the back of my heel. So it's not like it was a tear in my calf or like halfway up or anything that could repair. It's just, it fused itself back with some scar tissue. It's always swollen. It's always sore. And it's always a weak point for me. And it's always a risk of just popping off again if I was to overextend my heel too much. Mm-hmm. So I wear a walking boot whenever we're going to be walking a lot. Everybody will have seen it on trips and stuff like that. I've always got the walking boot for the airport. I've always got it at the parks because I just, my Achilles tendon cannot take that much flexing. So it has to be held rigid by this walking boot. Plus the walking boot has a lift in it that I can adjust to keep my tendon comfortable so that I, if I rip it, I will be in a wheelchair. Like I would just, there'd be no walking. Mm-hmm. So this is what I wear. I also have lupus, which is an anti-inflammatory disease. Now, I've had this for many years. I have lived with it. I have a lot of treatments, medications that I take, but I have a lot of what lupus does is it's an overactive autoimmune system that attacks your organs. So I have kidney damage, liver damage, things like that. And I take medication for them as well as just for general inflammation of the lining around my lungs, of ironically my brain, of my intestines. Because of the lupus, I have developed gastroparesia. So I have to take medications that move stuff through my system when I eat it, or else it would all just sit there. And I would eventually 3 days later, just bring everything back up. So those are the medications I'm on. So when they ask why can you not stand in a line? Why would this pass be a benefit to you? I they don't want you to tell what you have, or they don't want any doctor's notes or anything like that. But I tell them that I can't be, it can get critical standing in line to have to get to a washroom. And I also have to go more often because of the kidney function and medications that I take for that. And I also have to take, because of the inflammation, I have to take diuretics, stuff like that. So 2 hours in line is not going to work for me, when lots of times, especially if I've taken the diuretics, for the next 2 hours, I'm going to be going every 15, 20 minutes. Mm-hmm. Now, you could say, just don't take your diuretics while you're on holidays. But if I don't take my diuretics, everything swells up. I get the Disney rash. I end up with, you know, a lot of swelling, can't even put my shoes on. And my blood pressure goes up. So that puts me at a risk for stroke. So that's not an option. I have to take the diuretics. And that's what this pass is there for, to assist people. So I went there fully expecting this would be a respectful conversation that I would have with this person at the desk. Now, this is a person in customer service and at the desk at Universal Studios Orlando. So I went to talk to her and she said, I don't want you to tell me what you have, but tell me why you need the pass. So I started off by telling her I had lupus, which is number one, inflammation gets, I'm very sensitive to sun. As soon as I said that, she said, well, none of our cues are in the sun. You're inside for all of them. And I've been to Universal several times. And I said, well, no, actually, that's not true. Well, most of them are, she said. And it's not that busy right now anyway. And I said, well, that's not the only issue. I said, I take medications for an inflammatory autoimmune disease that make it difficult for me. And I have a lot of joint inflammation. I have a lot of organs that work best if I keep moving. So now I'm by myself, and she'd already asked me if I was there by myself or who I was with. And she said, well, you know, you can just get a wheelchair then. And I said, I'm not able to push myself in a wheelchair, so that's not an option for me. And she said, well, you can rent a scooter then. And I said, well, renting the scooter is not going to solve the issues with the medications where I may need to go to the washroom on short notice. And she said, well, you should have somebody else with you if you have this problem that can just keep your place in line. Then she said, you shouldn't be, you know, this really shouldn't be an issue. Lots of people have those issues. And she said, but you could rent a scooter so that you wouldn't have to walk as much. And I said, I'm very familiar with the duty to accommodate. I've worked for 25 years promoting inclusivity and advocating for individuals who need that help. So I said, I'm very familiar with your duty to accommodate, that you cannot expect me to pay money to have the same accessibility that people that don't have my issues have. So she screwed up her face and she grabbed the form and she just wrote my name on it and time and when it was good for, whatever, and literally threw it across the thing and like never said another word to me. So I had the pass. So that's fine. The policy there is the same as it is at Disney, where obviously you're not cutting in line. This is not an express pass. This is a pass where if the return ride time for Hagrid's, if it's 90 minutes, then they're going to take the 90 minutes. They're going to subtract 15 minutes from that because you're going to spend 15 minutes in line anyway, going through the accessibility line. So then they're going to give you a return time that is 75 minutes away. Well, the first ride I went to was Hagrid's. And at the time there was a 90 minute return. They gave me a return time for 3 hours later. And I said, oh, it's only saying 90 minutes. And he said, that's the quickest return time we have. And that was it. He just walked away from me. So I took that return time and I went and I rode Hagrid's. Now with the Disney, it's on their, my Disney experience. So you can go on and pick your next ride and get a return time while you're in line. You're spending that 15 minutes in line. As soon as you've gone through the kiosk and touched your band, it clears and you can pick another ride and get in that line. With Universal, that isn't an option. It's a paper pass. They write on it. And so you stand in line, you do the ride, you get out of the line, you get your stuff out of the lockers, and then you have to go to wherever your next ride is that you want to ride. And I was going to the Flight of the Hippogriff, which was the next ride that I wanted to ride. So it's not too far from there. So I get over there, but it's still been half an hour since I got off the ride, almost an hour since I had gotten in line for the Hagrid's ride. And then I get there and he does the same thing, gives me a 3-hour return time. So I was confused and I said, like, it seems like I'm just getting 3-hour return times. And he was really flippant. He's like, you know, you can buy an express pass if that isn't good enough for you. He said, we are trying to help you out here. So, okay, I took the 3-hour flight return time. And I thought, if that's what it's going to be, I can't stand in line for Gringotts or anything like that. And a lot of the rides there are going to be that hour and a half, 2-hour line. I'm not going to be able to do that. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to get on the train and I'm going to ride across to Universal Studios and I'm going to go on some of the rides there that I can ride. There won't be a lot. There's not a long lineup for them. So I go over there and I go to the Bilge's Raft.
Okay.
And now you got to go up. And they have an elevator there. So I go to the line where the elevator is. And she said, no, this is just for wheelchairs. So I pointed it to my boot and I said, I can't do stairs. I'll need to use the wheelchair. And she said, well, then you should have had a wheelchair or scooter if you want to use this elevator. She said, you can't use it. And I said, I can't do stairs. I have an issue with an Achilles tendon. And she said, it's only 11 stairs. She said, if you can't do that, you can't evacuate. We have an issue. You just can't get on the ride. So I was left then with the choice of either, you know, so I did the stairs very carefully, very gently, obviously tires me out because I got to do it the way I got to do it so as to not. And, you know, you end up with a swollen ankle that night that you got to ice and, you know, you're taking naproxen and stuff for it. So that was how I got treated at that ride. And that was the way that the rest of that day went. And I just had, I had had enough of it. Like, it was really frustrating me. I didn't feel like I could do it on my own there. I didn't have anybody to help me and I didn't feel like I couldn't do the lines, but I couldn't get any rides without the standing in line. So I was very frustrated. So I went back to the hotel that night. I came back the next morning. I thought, new day, new experience. I'm going to try this all over again. Exact same thing. As soon as they seen that I had the pass, they're questioning me. They're asking me, you know, why I can't wait in line. Well, that's already been discussed at the customer service thing. All I'm asking for is a return time. I came there and I wanted to do Men in Black. At the time I got there, there was a 40-minute wait for Men in Black. They gave me a 3-hour return time. So completely out of line with what they say they're offering. And again, the mention was made that if that's not good enough, you need to buy an express pass. That's what other people do if they want to get more rides in during the day. So I did that ride. I went back to Hogwarts and I wanted to buy some postcards and just look at the decor and stuff like that. I did that, had lunch. I went back to the hotel and I never went back to the parks on my 4 days. So a day and a half out of the 4 days. And I went to City Walk and I sat at Margaritaville. Stayed at the hotel, went to the pool, went to Cabana Bay, used the pool there. And that was my experience with trying to have accessibility based on my needs at Universal Parks. And I also had the experience of, so the other part of this is not only were they wanting to accommodate in that way and make it a good day for you, but then most of the rides, when I tried the test seat, I didn't fit. Now I am 5'8". I weigh about 240 pounds and I'm pretty straight. So I don't have, it's not like I have hips or, you know, overly big chest compared to the rest of my body. It's pretty straight up and down, but, And I can just stay straight out. I have 48-inch hips and 48-inch chest and about a 42-inch waist. And I could not get the ones that come down over the shoulder for Velociraptor or the Hulk to click, as well as the rides, the plastic molded was extremely uncomfortable. And the seatbelt thing that they had on the one was right into my hip. So Rip Ride Rockets, one of my favorites. I wasn't able to ride that. I wasn't able to ride Velocicoaster. I wasn't able to ride the Hulk. I wasn't able to ride the Dudley Do Right Falls. That one, I got there and couldn't get into the raft. So that was my experience with being able. And people will say, well, yeah, you paid for your ticket and there's lots of other rides that you can do. And yes, I mean, there's Fast and Furious. You can do ones like that. Spider-Man. There are ones that are benches and stuff like that. But even Spider-Man is a lap bar. So if you're a bigger person and you're sitting there and there's a couple smaller people beside you, then you feel bad. You're sucking your stomach in so that the lap bar will go down. So I feel like the issue is that they are giving lip service to being accessible and inclusive, but when it comes down to it, they're not making the effort and they are, gaslighting. They are making people who need those services or are bigger or are in a wheelchair feel like it's their fault, that they're the ones that are the problem. And that is my concern. I've worked for almost 25 years working for inclusivity of different individuals, and to see that a place that's supposed to be a fun place has this kind of and it has to have come from the top down, or else it wouldn't have been everybody that I ran into. It wouldn't have been every I can't remember what the crew member that they call them at Universals. It would not have been every one of those that I ran into giving me the same attitude. So obviously they feel like a lot of people are abusing this, and they look at you and they prejudge and say, oh, I don't think you need it. You just, you're lazy, you're this, you're that, you're whatever. And you're trying to get out of, skip the line or whatever. And it's a bad system. Universal's Fast Pass or Express Pass is a bad system because they don't limit, even with the paid lightning lanes now in Disney World, you can only use one. You can buy it once a day. You can't go and buy it again and again and again. Now you pay for that $195 or whatever it is for the day you happen to be there for the Express Pass at Universal, and you can just run through that ride again and again and again. So if it's Velociraptor or it's a Hulk or it's Hagrid's, people are just running. Oh, I guess Hagrid's doesn't qualify for the Express Pass, but the other ones, they just run through that line again and again and again. So if you don't have an Express Pass, you are, and it's an extended wait. It can be 3-4 hours, which is, I would say, difficult for most people to do. So they've set themselves up to fail. They've set everybody up to try and abuse the system, I would suspect.
Yeah. Well, let me give you a break here and a pause here for 1 second, because I'm familiar with your story. And as I listen to your story again, I know the story. I keep on thinking to myself, you mother, when she's telling you that, when the person in customer service is actually literally questioning you and then it's defensive, that is frustrating and very angry. And my natural reaction is, I want to speak immediately. Let me just describe Cindy to people. She is one of, I'm not giving us credit for this word. Cindy is an alpha female for sure. She does not back down. She does not take anybody's business, but she's very well spoken and she's calm. And you deserve a freaking award for not pulling across the counter and saying, give me your manager right now, you deserve an award for that. So I'm so proud of you for that. You're right. It's systemic. It can't be her and then him and then her and then him at Blue Nose Barges. And it can't be all of them. It's systemic for sure. So if you're listening, you were very frustrated listening to that story, as I was. Your experience may be different at Universal. And we've always promoted good and bad with everything. We're going to try and tell you the truth. But in this situation, if all they're trying to do in your perception is move that Express Pass is really expensive. And you definitely got that impression. All they wanted to do was have you commit to either buying a nice scooter, or B, the Express Pass, or a combination thereof, which is insane. Yeah. So, this still parlays right into the next stage of this. So Cindy now has the disability pass, and we talk about, the pass over at Walt Disney World. But a few stories have popped up recently that isn't similar, but kind of run parallel lines to this, right? And so we're going to talk about Mario Kart in Universal Studios Hollywood, and we're going to talk about Tron, and we're going to talk about the fitting of people and accessibility in general for these attractions. So we've done a little bit of research here. So we're going to quote sources from Hey Orlando, Orlando Informer. We're going to quote WWNT. We're going to quote a bunch of things. Fox News, I got an article here. There's a bunch of things that have made us just furrow our brow with frustration. But the linchpin of everything, we know this. So rides are designed with a lot of things thrown into play, right? There's a safety aspect to that ride. In addition to safety, there's, you know, boarding, onboarding, whatnot, whether you can actually access the vehicle and get out of the vehicle. There's also such a thing as like a ratio of riders per hour, right? They want numbers per hour. They want it to be a people eater. They want to get people through and give the experience. So there's a lot of things in construction. There's construction costs, like you mentioned pre-show. There's a lot of things that go into ride design. So Universal Studios in the Nintendo world, I guess in Hollywood, has this new Mario Kart attraction. I love Mario Kart. You know, here we go. So anyways, we got a new Mario Kart attraction. It's a dark ride. It's a slow-moving dark ride. Had a soft open. And the article, which I could quote, is literally a piece from Fox News. So, I mean, it's reputable enough to host this story. And I'm going to quote a few lines, if you don't mind. Universal Studios' new Mario Kart ride ripped for rules restricting plus-size visitors. Okay? So, upon that, you're thinking, oh man, it must be just, I'm just going to spit it out. It must be just really heavy people that can't fit in the attraction. So, but let's read a little further. And I'm going to paraphrase, but these are words coming from this article. Super Nintendo World made a splashy debut at Universal Studios Hollywood this month. With a soft opening, gamers and tourists alike raced to see what the park had to offer and get in line for its highly anticipated Mario Kart ride. Moving down a little further to the article. Nothing but wonderful things to say about Super Nintendo World, except this. The body size limitations on the Mario Kart ride are absolutely ridiculous. I've never had any issue fitting into any ride in my entire life, and I could barely fit into this one. Completely absurd. So we're going to go down a little further. And here's one of the ride critics says, can we discuss how at my biggest, I would have not been able to fit in a Mario Kart? A 40-inch waist is about a size 20. And are you kidding me, Universal Studios? It's a dark ride. So essentially what they're telling you is, there's a sign, a warning sign, Mario Kart Bowser's Challenge attraction comes with a warning that guests whose waistline is at least 40 inches or greater may not be accommodated to ride. There is a test seat at the attraction entrance, but it's frustrating that theme parks are still creating family-friendly attractions that aren't accessible to many of their guests. So we're going to pause here. There's more, but it's a Fox News article, and I'll give everyone the date, and I can even share it in EDCOT. We've shared this in a different group, but this is kind of caustic. So we want to make sure we approach this the right way. It's a January 31st article, 2023. It's written by Taylor Penley in their culture section. So let's break that down. I got a 40-inch waist. Okay. So to give approximate value, I used to be a 40 and 42-inch waist. My son Jude, who's a big kid, but not a heavy kid, but a big kid, is a size 40-inch waist. I look at my circle of friends, best people I know, committed to vacationing with their family and creating memories. And I would honestly say the majority of my friends probably exceed a 40-inch waist. So the troll and a stupid answer is, well, you know what? Maybe you should just exercise a little more or take a little better care of yourself. But you know what? I got a woman right next to me here on the air who has medication for a disease. And you didn't have to mention you had lupus. Takes medication. And she can lose that weight. And she could easily qualify. And what is that medication called, Cindy? It's prednisone, right?
Prednisone, yeah.
Prednisone. And she will put that weight right back on. And she needs that for lupus. Now, a 40-inch waist, people are thinking, well, heck, I'm a 34, 36, 38. I'm square, right? I'm okay with that. What is the average waist size, Cindy, right now for America? At least this article quotes a stat from like 2019. What is the average waist size for males? You know?
40.4 inches.
40.4. The average freaking waist size is bigger than the actual warning side attraction. So yeah. Here's the thing. Okay, maybe you could say, well, let's not build the ride if it's a safety issue, right? We're going to, you know, we'll talk a little bit about Tyree Simpson, the poor kid who fell off the
Orlando Eye.
The Orlando Eye. It's a dark ride. This is a freaking dark ride. There's no way. There's no way that seat cannot be made to accommodate either riders that have accessibility issues, you know, disability pass, or heavier, or taller. There's no way that this dark ride could be designed like this. This is almost unfathomable, right, at this point. But they're not the only one. And I know I'm talking for a long time. I apologize. Let's talk about Tron and throw Tron in the ring too, right? We've got the Tron coaster. Everyone's excited. Tron's been being built for the last 17 years. We're so excited. Yeah. We got the Tron coaster. Now, here's some stats on Tron, right? It's just opening up for staff, for cast member trials right now. And you're situated in a Tron cycle, so you're kind of positioned, lean forward as if you were to ride a motorcycle or a light cycle, so to speak. They thought about it. They heard people complaining. So they put on a car in the back of the trains, not all trains, but in the back of the train, there's a car that actually seats like a roller coaster. So you can do that. And when I read that, I said, you got to be kidding me. So now you're going to take people and you're going to isolate and separate people that may need this accessibility from the rest of the riders. Thereby, Lord, forgive me for saying this, you literally have a line of shame. You have a walk of shame, and you have put people on a freaking pedestal and said, here, these people need a special accommodation. Let's look at the people that have to wait. And by the way, it's one car out of the whole freaking eight cars, whatever it is. And so it's 30 minutes longer or an hour longer for you to ride it because you have accessibility issues. What in the God's name is that? That is horrendous. And obviously, yeah, it's not a safety issue, right? Because we've designed cars. We just decided we're going to accommodate people of that size in a much slower fashion. It's not safety, right? We can accommodate you. We have it designed. There you go. I'm sorry. I'm taking it away. Take it back for a second. What do you think about it?
The interesting thing about that to me is that the design is almost identical to the motorcycle ride on Avatar Flight of Passage, except that it is on a moving track. It's not just stationary that moves. And yet the ability to fit is much smaller than it is on the Avatar ride. So it was, you know, just simply this ride was already built. We don't want to do any modifications. We want to just get it in, put it in place, have it go. And so again, there's the lip service to accessibility and inclusivity. And you know, for Disney, that's a bad look.
It's a terrible look. It's a terrible look for this reason. Now, factually, we're going to quote something here, which might sound like it's based on, I don't even want to use the word racist. It's not right. The ride was designed for Shanghai, right? So as a general rule, riders from China and people from China may be a little different body size than the people in America. And you know what? I don't even want to deep dive, but like that is the belief and quoted in all these articles. And you know what? Okay, I can buy that. And I can buy all these delays. But you know what? I'm just one idiot sitting in the recording studio here trying to make a show. And I could see these issues after like an hour of recording. And how could Disney not see these issues come in and see this roller coaster and say, huh, okay, so we can accommodate 80% of these people really good, 20% no, and then we're going to make them feel really self-conscious and we're going to add implied shame to them by isolating them and situating them with a longer wait. This is going to play really well in our parks. You know, so you can see the disability pass and riders of size. It's not the same. It definitely isn't, because there are riders of size that don't have any disability issues and vice versa. But they run a parallel line here, you know. Yeah. So I read an article. Cindy's been a sweetheart. I've been sending her messages. She's been sending me articles back and forth. It's been the most we researched for a show in a long time. It's been wonderful. I sent her an article by someone called John Guillon, G-U-L-L-I-O-N. He writes both Hey Orlando and Orlando Informer. And he's got a bunch of blog pieces, which are really good. And he uses the words, is Universal Studios fat friendly? A helpful guide for plus size guests, right? And he uses the same article for, is Disney fat friendly? It's his words, not mine. I find it offensive, to be honest with you. But, you know, he's a big boy. I'm reading the article. I'm just going to spit it out. He's a big boy. I'm ranging his size anywhere from 3 to 350. And he even says, look, I realize I'm a big boy. If I could lose weight, I would do that. But it doesn't matter. It's here. It doesn't matter. It's gone. I'm here now. And you've charged me full boat. You've charged me full boat to stay at your resort. And you charged me full boat to come into your park. And you're not going to accommodate me if I have a disability. Per your words, we're going to make you upcharge that. And you're not going to accommodate me in a lot of your attractions. So he goes and he lists the attractions at Universal. And there are some that you can go and be accommodated on without being concerned if you're a bigger guy, you know. And there are some that actually try to make an accommodation. You know, the Hulk's got this extra seat with this extra buckle that can be allowed to fit an extra size person. But I will say, after reading these articles from Hey Orlando or Orlando Informer, that Universal Studios is completely lacking on their empathy. And I'll quote him, and he says, I shouldn't use the word quote, I'm a paraphrase from him. And he says, hey, listen, I'm not looking for complete accommodation. I'm looking for empathy. You know, I'm looking for a little more understanding. And I'm looking for these test seats to not be out in the front of public, like out in the front, maybe a little more discreet and a little more empathy. When you must sit in the seat in front of everybody in here, here's a spectacle. Look at this big guy trying to fit in the seat. He's never going to fit. And he comes across really well-spoken through that article. And you know what? There's a systemic breakdown, because even at Disney parks, they put the ride test seats out in front. They don't got to hide them in the back. Of course not. But a little more just consideration for who you're charging full price for, but delivering 50% experience. You know, at this point, Cindy, what do you got? I'm going to go and find a quote here, and I'll let you roll here. What do you got? Anything I said?
Well, I think that you mentioned that we had researched some articles and stuff like that, and it got me thinking about, primarily I go to Universal and Disney. So are we just, you know, they're doing really, really well in a difficult situation. What do other, you know, and we're expecting too much, but what are other theme parks doing and stuff like that? So I started looking at them, and now neither Disney or Universal have any kind of weight restrictions. It's just a matter of the safety restraints working. As long as the safety restraints work, you're allowed to ride the ride. But it talks about how Disney World is listed as number two of the most person of size friendly parks for their rides. And there's a whole bunch of other places, and they do have weights, a maximum of 250, 280, women over 200 on the one ride. We're not to be accommodated. Some places even have at the water parks have scales where they will weigh the people so the rafts can be, make sure a raft isn't too heavy in total, that kind of stuff. So, you know, you might say, well, you know, the system is what it is. You just can't accommodate this. But you can. You want to say that, you know, with the Tyree Smith situation and stuff like that, they say that, you know, it was his weight that led to his death. Well, I say that it was a lack of design or forethought in designing the restraints that caused the person who was tightening his restraint to manipulate the sensor so that it would go, the ride would go, that caused his death. The fact that they did not have a restraint for a person of his size is what caused his death on that ride. And any of the other ones that are, they're linking it to weight and saying it's because this woman weighed 230 pounds, it's because, you know, this person weighed 300 pounds, it contributed to their death. Well, what contributed to their death is the fact that the designer, the parks aren't insisting on restraints that will allow people of that size to ride. And so there's all kinds of naysayers online that get on their soapbox and say, well, this is a case of, you know, America needs to get thinner and maybe this is a good idea for them to do this. And they say physics, you know, you can't change the law of physics. It's a roller coaster. You can't put a person that's 450 pounds on a roller coaster and not affect it to expect it to affect the way that the roller coaster operates. And that's right. There is physics. but you don't need to change the physics. You need to work with the physics. So instead of having the seats that accommodate those riders at the very back, where it's going to drag the train down, you put them to the front where it's, you know, you're not going to end up with it stopping at the top of the thing and sliding back into the valley where they have to be evacuated and stuff like that. You can work with physics to make this work. We all know of cases where, you put a jet into the air. That's physics. You can load a Jeep onto it. You can drop it down. You can have Hercules planes. There's a lot of things you can do if it's built to accommodate what you need it to do. Right now, they're not building it to accommodate. They're saying this is, you know, 10% of people can't ride these rides. That's an acceptable number, you know, rather than spending the extra money. But that's not acceptable when you're talking about not being inclusive. And so then people get on the soapbox and they say, well, what do you want us to include next? Are they going to have ASL so that everybody can understand? Are they going to have voiceovers so that blind people? Well, yes, why wouldn't you? Like, why would you not invest the money so that those people could enjoy, fully enjoy those rides as well? So I don't take that as a valid point for saying we shouldn't make the rides, the ride restraints better for bigger people, because I think that you should be working to include all people so that they're able to be on these rides. And so last summer, when some of us went to Disneyland, one of the favorite coasters that we rode was Incredicoaster. I loved that thing. Now, Incredicoaster, I started thinking about it and I thought, now it's a reverse launch. It goes up to 55, 60 miles an hour. You do some loop-de-loos up and down. And yet there were a lot of big people riding that and not complaining about it. Didn't seem to be an issue. So I looked it up. Well, that roller coaster was designed with a locking system, a restraint system that locks where it needs to lock. There's not three clicks. Wherever it stops and is firm, it will lock there. It's like your seatbelt when you pull it out and then it won't go back in again. That kind of thing. So that's how they designed that. So if it's a small person, it can go all the way down before it locks. If it's a bigger person, it can go. And then they have a deeper vehicle that you sit in. So there's, if their restraint over your shoulder isn't come down quite as far, you're still securely inside that vehicle with your feet up front. You're not going to fall out. So they can design it. Mm-hmm. They're choosing not to. And when it comes to choosing not to, that's where I have the issue.
Well, so I'm going to talk out of both sides of my mouth. And I do think that some of these rides are prefabricated and they're based on cost, because that's a reality, right? It's a reality. You've budgeted now $38 million. You got to bring this new coaster in. It's prefabricated from Coaster Company of Ohio, right? And you bring in this coaster and you got the cars designed. And I do understand that, because you know what? I'm just going to throw it out there. Big Murray rode with us. Murray's a big dude, right? And he was in that coaster. He loves that coaster. He's a healthy dude. But he fit on that coaster. So, but I do understand both the design, but you are right though. You know what? It just seems like it's been easy to say, it's okay. These are prefabricated, as opposed to we need to design this differently. And you know what? You quoted 10%. Was that a stat you found of the riders can ride that?
Yeah. It said 10%.
Right, that's a bunch of.
10% of park goers. So a lot of people that already know they can't, like 10% of riders get turned away and told they can't fit. That's their estimate at Universal. 10% of riders that attempt to ride the ride have to do the walk of shame.
All right. So I'm not going to quote like I have any scientific knowledge of this, but let's everyone just think for 1 second. The last time we were at Universal Studios or Disney or Six Flags or wherever. Are you telling me that only 10% of the people that we go with, that we know, that we are, that we see, that number is wrong? That's a wrong number. That is low.
Well, it's 10% of people who thought that they might fit, really, is all it is. Because if I know I'm not fitting, I'm going to say, I don't really like roller coasters anyway. The rest of the group go and do it. I'm not going to say, oh, I can't fit in there. Right. And I'm not going to go and try the test seat and prove I can't fit in there. And that's just going to go, oh, yeah, I'm tired. I'm going to sit here for a while. I really need to hit a washroom. You guys go, that kind of thing. Right.
Yeah, exactly. That number is probably in reality of the numbers that can't ride that enter your admission gates is probably somewhere around 30%. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. That's a ridiculous number to leave out. That's a ridiculous number, you know.
And then how many don't come to the parks because they know ahead of time that that's going to be way too much money for rides I'm not going to be able to do. According to the statistics, the rides being limited to, it said if a ride is limited to 44-inch waist, that would not fit 44% of Americans.
Let me go back just briefly here. Fox 35 Orlando. Orlando Free Fall Ride Death operator made a manual adjustment to Tyree Sampson's seat. This is back in April. I remember that story. That story was horrific. And trying to explain to my daughter why and how that happened. Because, Dad, one of my favorite things in the world is drop towers. I love a drop tower. It's always been my passion. I love it. And I hate heights. Go figure. You know how those two things parlay. I just like getting on there and just challenging it. It was one of the hardest things trying to tell her why, you know, and then having the family be like on the air and operator made a manual adjustments. Back to what you said, it was the ride design that allowed them to make that manual adjustment, you know? So instead of designing it differently, they rigged, you know, a green light, and they shouldn't have. Anyways, so back to this Tron cycle. So I was thinking about this, and this is completely off the cuff. This is my thought here. So you've got, let's just say, I don't see the picture. Let's just say you've got 8 cycles and a car in the back. You've got 10, right? You've got 10 on a track at any one time. And I read in the article, WWNT, I'm hoping it's incorrect, and not even every train has a car like that in the back.
Right.
I'm hoping that's not
what
true.
That's what I read and saw from the cast previews.
Why would they not design where half of that ride would be accessible by roller coaster car? Why would you not make 4 and then have 6 and then 6 and then 4, whatever the case is? It'd be an even dispersion of crowd. It'd be an even dispersion of weight. And you know what? If I'm on Tron and I want to get on the front because I qualify, I fit, fine, that's on me. Get in the line. It's like when you wait for the first car at any roller coaster theme park and that first car's wait is just a little longer, right? Because you know you're going to get the best experience in the front, right? There you go. Why not make it an even weight? You have literally separated. This makes my blood boil. You have separated people and you have isolated them in a very vulnerable situation, and we're going to make you wait. Oh my gosh. Is that not just a sin? So
yeah, imagine you're with a party. You're with your family or friends or coworkers or whoever you decided to go to Disney with, and you're the one big person. And say now we're talking Tron, but say it was every ride that was like that. You went to Splash Mountain, you went to Big Thunder Mountain, you went to whatever, and you constantly had to come out of their ride. They were done, they were through, and then they had to wait 45 minutes, an hour for you to finish. Plus, you didn't get to ride with them. So. How long would it be before you, as the big person, just said, I'm not doing rides, I'll just hang out with you guys. I'm having a good time, I'll just hang out with you.
Yeah, right. I'm going to go over to Star Traders, you know? But in all seriousness, they brought the coaster over from China. It couldn't have been redesigned. They couldn't have had an extra safety measure. They couldn't have redesigned the ride vehicle, knowing that the riders in America might be just shaped a little differently. You know, it seems like it's weak stock to let that happen. So in the full list, we're going to post in the show notes in EDCOT, we're going to post all the articles we researched, Orlando Informer, Hey Orlando, we're going to post this WWNT. But, you know, fact of the matter is there's been a lot that we've talked about today, and it just makes you wonder the motivations of these companies, whether the motivation is we truly are being accessible, back to you, or we are more driven by that bottom line, getting riders through, pushing our express pass. Oh, we can also rent you a scooter. And, you know, that just, there's something inherently dirty about that. It leaves you feeling like you're part of a problem, not part of the solution for everybody, you know? Cindy, give me some final words on this before we cut on the show. Give me some final words.
Well, the one thing I thought was interesting, and maybe it just hit me this way, but it seems like it's almost misogynistic, because they're saying that chest size. And so whenever I looked at what their guidelines were, it was always men up to 280, 300 pounds, women up to 200 pounds could fit this ride, because of the way the bar comes down and women have a chest, right? And they tend to have, you know, more in that area. And
you can say boob. It's okay, Sydney.
Okay, your restraint wouldn't fit. So, I mean, that was the one thing that annoys me. The fact that, yes, I feel like it is strictly being driven by, you know, they want to make a thing out of saying, well, it's too dangerous. Well, even with the ones that we've mentioned, which were very sad cases, there are millions of roller coaster rides every year in the U.S. and one or two deaths. One or two is too much, but and not always, you know, sometimes it's just a malfunction of one of the safety restraints or something like that. But I think that it does come down to people, no matter what your ability, your size, your structure, your nationality, your sex, are all people and they're all entitled to the same thing. Skinny people are not entitled to more good things in life than fat people. That's the hard thing. And I read an interview that this woman had, well, it was a comment she had posted on some of the interviews that I'd looked at on the Orlando Insider Informer. And she talks about how when she was 13 and had spent the whole year, school year, talking with her friends and about going to the park and how excited she was. And then they get, of course, to the first roller coaster and she's bigger than the rest and the restraint wouldn't go down. And they tried to push it three or four times and it wouldn't go down, and how she had to get off and walk away. And the rest of the day, her friends rode rides that she couldn't. Now, this was a 13-year-old girl who couldn't fit in these rides. And at the time, she admits to being over 200 pounds, a bit, not a lot. But she couldn't fit in these rides. It was at a Six Flags park. And she talks about the eye roll of the person that was assisting her when they had to help her get out, the people getting mad behind and she remembers all these things, and this is 20 years later, the people behind getting mad because their train was waiting to unload while they were trying to accommodate her. When she got off and cleared the platform and they loaded somebody else and the train finally took off, the whole train clapping and applauding because they were finally able to get going. Things like that. And she said she has never, ever ridden a roller coaster, ever attempted to ride a roller coaster again. So you can talk about safety, health and safety, and you want people to be safe and the restraints and stuff like that. But there's mental health damages that are being done to people every day in these situations as well. And I think that we need to remember that there's that to be considered as well.
Yeah.
And as far as the accessibility pass, I think that they need to mean it or not do it one way or another. Don't claim you do it and then harass people and make them feel, because I can tell you from experience, the last thing you want to be is that person that needs that. The last thing I want to do is be the one that has to take the elevator when everybody else is going up the steps, because you know how people look at you and what they think of you. And that's the one thing I have against Disney as well, is with the DAS, when you go through the same line as the Lightning line. But I don't know if you've noticed or not, but when you go through and you've got a Lightning pass, it flashes green. And when you have a DAS pass, it flashes blue. And that is unfortunate to me as well, because they've now identified you to everybody that's sitting there watching that line go through as a group going through with a disability pass. So now they are human nature. They're going to start judging and saying whether someone in that group needed that or not, who it was that got it. So I don't think it's right that there's a different color comes up to show that this is a disabled person coming through the line. Why couldn't they just assume that you'd purchase the Lightning lane and leave it at that? I think you would get harassed a lot less in line.
Yeah, that's very valid. Absolutely. Okay. Well, we've left you a lot today to think about. And, you know, we usually have a lot of wacky shows and whatnot, but we cover everything from trip reports to this. But, you know, occasionally a new story or something is just at the surface that, you know, we want to talk about. We're not quite sure how it's going to come off. But you know what? We're not embarrassed to the show today. I think this might be one of the best shows we might have ever done, and let's bring it to the surface and let's be the community of people that pulls people together and like pulls people with us, as opposed to like not. And don't ever read the freaking comments in any of these social media posts or the articles. Take it from your buddy Chris here. Don't read the comments. It will save you a lot of stress and hassle reading the stupidity that is the world right now. So,
and if I could say something to the theme park operators, we all know that if the customer demands it, the suppliers will match that demand. So if you demand the redesign of some of these rides, that demand will be met so that you will buy these rides. And this is an industry that's built on dreams. So can I please ask you to dream bigger?
That's beautiful. All right, we're going to end on that. For my friend Cindy, for myself, I'd like to thank you for joining us today. Have a great day, everybody.
Bye.